They had agreed to meet as soon as possible to discuss whatever they had learned, but that wasn't going to be as easy as they had hoped. The people with whom they had been billeted were keeping a close eye on the companion's activities. Doc was bursting to tell the others about what he had discovered, but whenever he tried to leave the house, Bones would emerge from his self-imposed exile with his old tech and have something he wanted to discuss, some ancient tome on which he wished to elicit Doc's opinion. Ryan found that the sect training would suddenly expand if he wanted to get away. Jack found himself on a hunt when Jono found him attempting to make his way toward the sect camp. Christy had to suddenly assist Angelica whenever it seemed downtime would allow her to get away. JB found that Scar would find some piece of his armory that he would want JB's advice on, mysteriously realizing that he'd had this blaster for a while, but still wasn't sure about some of the attachments that he'd bought in the same consignment. Distracting the companions had been accomplished so subtly that the friends only realized in hindsight what had been happening. Except for Mildred. It seemed that Michaela, who had taken a liking to the medic, had found it hard to lie to her. There was little illness in Pleasantville, thus it took only a short while to deal with the patients at the hospital. Mildred sighed as she stripped off the white gown that Michaela had given her, placing it in a dump bin to be washed.
Ah, oh, I can't remember the last time I wore whites.
Well, wherever it must have been somewhere that was able to raid an old city.
Something like that.
Mildred reminded herself to watch her words. She didn't want to have to explain too much unless it was necessary, especially as it would be bound to get back to Ethan and stir up his curiosity about them even more.
Really, you must have seen a whole load of really odd stuff out there. I mean, you've traveled. I've never been more than a day's ride from this ville all my life. Like being in a cage, really. I mean, we only really know what's going on from convoys and hunting parties, and they might not be telling the truth, might they?
Why wouldn't they?
The use of the phrase hunting parties made her feel uneasy. There wasn't enough wildlife around here to support regular hunts from the ville, let alone any outsiders. Michaela shrugged, gave a vaguely embarrassed grin, as though she knew she had let something slip that she shouldn't.
I don't know, really. It's just that they don't have to be honest, do they? Maybe there's something out there that would stop us giving them. Well, they wouldn't get what they want.
Mildred came over to the young healer, took her hand, and fixed her with an intense stare.
Hey, listen to me. If there's something going on here that I should know about, something you're not so happy with, then maybe you should talk to me about it. If it's something that puts me and my friends in the firing line, then we deserve to know. You save lives. That means that you feel a certain way about people. You said something about a hunt, child. What is there to hunt around here?
No, I've already said far too much. I shouldn't have. Where are you going?
I'm going to find Ryan and the others. I think it's about time we got the hell out of here.
No! That would be the worst thing you could do. You wouldn't get more than a couple of miles.
Mildred took the young woman by the shoulders.
Then what is it, girl? Tell me.
I can't. I've told you too much already, without even meaning to. Look, all I know is that we're not supposed to let you all get together and talk until we found out about you and told Ethan about it.
You're supposed to spy on us?
Mm-hmm.
Then what does Ethan want to know about us? Why?
He likes to collect knowledge. He says it's powerful, more so than Jack, and he thinks you'd be good material.
Material for what?
For the hunt.
He wants to hunt us?
Not him, and not exactly hunting you. It's how we live so well. He sells the hunt to other barons for Big Jack. They watch or take part depending on what they want, and every hunt is different. No two the same. He uses this word he got from an old book. Com something.
Commodity. A unique commodity.
J.B. Dix was bored to tears with hearing about Scar and about the armory, and about how good Scar was at keeping the armory. He had never before thought that he could get bored with talking about firearms, but Scar had taken him places he thought he could never go. The big man was rambling about an M16 that he'd recently acquired, and how bad a state it had been in, and what he'd had to do to clean it up. He was mercifully nearing the end of his monologue.
I'll show you what I mean.
He disappeared into the back room of the armory building to hunt it down from his workroom, where he modified and cleaned inventory. This was JB's chance. JB slipped out of the building and hurried across the impound that housed the target range. He was past the main gate and into the Ville before Scar had even found the M16 in his junk pile workroom. The armorer knew where the others were billeted and decided to try to find Mildred first. The hospital was in an easterly direction, and he walked that way, scanning the busy streets. He didn't want to call attention to himself by asking directions, so he walked in silence. The farther he went, the more every nerve-ending screamed that he was being followed. Damn. He knew that Scar would be looking for him by now, but this felt like more than that. He noticed an alleyway. JB changed direction suddenly and ducked into the fortuitous cover, making for the far end. He scanned the side for anything that would provide a hiding place from which he could observe his pursuers. There was nothing. And now there were two men at the far end of the alley. JB recognized one of them as a sect man who had been in the party that had brought them here. He turned and could see two more entering the alley behind him. 4-1. Not good odds. Even less so as he only had his Tecna, and they had knives and chains with blasters at their hips and shoulders. JB unsheathed the knife. He was ready. But he wasn't ready for what happened next. One of the sect men took an air gun from one of his holsters, leveled it, and fired. JB tried to dodge, but the alley was too narrow. The sect man had aimed a body shot, and JB's surprise had made him too slow. Something pierced his clothing, puncturing the skin. He looked down to see a cylindrical dart. He felt a hot shiver as something entered his bloodstream, and then he felt nothing. JB looked up, Tecna still in his hand. To his astonishment, the sect man had vanished. He was alone. He plucked the dart from his skin and clothing. What the hell was that all about? He came out of the alleyway, looking around cautiously. There was no sign of the sect man who had trailed him. Neither was there any indication that anyone on the main street had noticed what was going on. Everything seemed to be normal, as if nothing had happened. But what had happened? JB rubbed thoughtfully at the area where the dart had pierced cloth and skin. It tingled, a very slight pain where the skin had been broken. And there had been that warm feeling where something had entered his bloodstream. It was more imperative than ever that he get to Mildred, let her take a look at him, and then gather the others. Before, he had just planned to share intelligence. Now it could be much more serious. It occurred to him that if the sect men had been following him, then it was possible that Scar Longthorn had deliberately given him space to make a run, leaving him out in the open for the sect men. Thoughts whirled around JB's brain as he searched out the hospital. Why was he the one who had been selected? Or was it possible that this was happening to all the others? Had they all been targeted in this manner? And what was the point? Why not just attack them all when they were together, rather than have them stalked like wild animals when they made a run? Perhaps the others would be able to come up with some answers. Maybe they'd found out something else. The Ville was still unfamiliar, and JB was starting to feel hot. It seemed such an effort to try to find the hospital. He looked up at the sky above, squinting through his spectacles at the sun, which was on the wane. It shouldn't be this hot. This wasn't a natural kind of heat. The sooner he got to Millie, the better.
The hell with this! Michaela, I know you're supposed to keep me here, and I like you, but don't try to stop me.
The Baron has sect men watching all the buildings where you are. Don't you realize that? And you didn't hear that from me.
Mildred's demeanor softened a little as she noticed how scared the girl was, and how much it had taken her to speak those words.
I guess you need to be careful, too. This'll get you out of trouble.
Michaela's expression held a sudden mixture of shock and hurt, a second before she'd fallen to the floor unconscious. Mildred hadn't wanted to hurt the girl, but at least Michaela could claim she'd been overpowered if Mildred was caught. If she was caught, or when. Chances were that she would be, but what the hell. Mildred left the building in plain sight, not bothering to hide. If there were sect men waiting for her, she was prepared to stand and fight if that was what they wanted. But she suspected that there was a more devious game afoot. Unbeknownst to her, Mildred's thoughts echoed JB's as he searched for the hospital. The world was beginning to look as though he were seeing it through a distant heat haze. Dark night, but he needed to find Millie, and quick. It was now obvious that there had been some kind of trank in that dart. Millie might be able to help him, but only if he could stay on his damned feet until he found her. The hospital finally came into view. He began to move toward it, feeling as if he were wading in quicksand. The faster he tried to move, the slower he seemed to progress. Finally, after what seemed to be an eternity, he reached the door and crashed into the frame. There on the floor, he could see a short woman with spiky hair lying unconscious. There was no sign of Millie. He leaned heavily on a bench, gasping for breath and cursing to himself. What the hell had happened to her?